Good day to you, and welcome to the podcast for the Union Street Meeting House. In this podcast, we will be sharing messages from our weekly worship services. Union Street Meeting House is a Christian ministry that introduces people of all ages to Jesus Christ and recalls those who once knew him back into an intimate, vibrant, living relationship with him. We are a house for Christian fellowship and personal growth. You are always welcome here at Union Street Meeting House. Let's go into this week's message right now.
So let's just open your Bibles this morning to Jeremiah 31. And I promise I won't keep you past 3. 31 and verse 31. So that this week, as I'm kind of riding along, and I talked about this at chapel at the campground this morning, that you have influence. So make no mistake that you have influence on someone, somewhere, somehow. You're a stay-at-home mom, you have influence. You're in the workplace, just a worker, you have influence. You're the boss at your workplace, you have influence. It doesn't matter what you're doing or where you are, you have influence. Children's children. I had some time with one of my grandsons this week. I had influence. You have influence. Listen, this is not to be taken lightly. You're going to influence somebody. The question is, what influence are you bringing to them? And what good is that? And so we wanted to talk about, this week I wanted to talk about, and we'll do it next week, it's okay, or not. But I wanted to talk about culture or covenant. That was the message today, culture or covenant. And to me, it's a filter that we run in our lives or that we don't run, because a lot of us don't cognizantly do it, and I believe we should train ourselves to do that. We should be asking God constantly, especially in those areas of influence, God, am I making a covenant decision when I proceed with this, or am I making a cultural decision when I proceed with this? Jeremiah 31, verse 31, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is my covenant which I make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and on their heart, and I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. We have the Spirit of the Lord in us. What a wonderful thing to have the author of the universe inside of us to interpret for us whatever it is that he's showing or telling us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and we give you glory. Lord, I'm going to give a snippet of this message today, Lord God, and I pray, Lord God, that you let us complete it next week or even in our hearts, Lord, as you minister people throughout this week, Lord God. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, as we look at missions. We don't want it to be just a byproduct or an aside thing, God. We want to be difference makers, first in our community, second in our country, and then around the world, Lord God. And so, God, we just lift this morning up to you, and we praise you, and we give you glory. We ask that you speak to our hearts. We live in a culture, Lord God, that is somewhat sad. But, Lord, there is much good. And so we look to you for the good, and we look to you for the answers, and we pray, Lord God, that we understand our position in the new covenant. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to bring to your remembrance that if you have been born again, that is, if you have said yes to Jesus Christ, that if you have believed with your heart and genuinely confessed with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, who lived without sin, died on the cross for our sins, was raised on the third day, and is seated at the right hand of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, then you are a member of the new covenant. Again, I want to remind you, you are in the new covenant with God Almighty, the creator of the universe. And you're in that new covenant because of his son, Jesus Christ. And for those of you who've been around a while, you've heard Pastor Bill do a wonderful teaching on covenant. He thoroughly explains Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10 and brings great light to this subject. In fact, I'm hoping that in the orchard soon, or maybe even here at Union Street, he'll do another teaching on that. You won't want to miss it if you've never heard it. But this morning, I'm not teaching on covenant. I'm simply reminding you that you are in the new covenant. I'm bringing to your remembrance. Why? Because you're busy. Why? Because your weeks run by quickly, and you're busy about other things, and sometimes we forget that we're in the new covenant. That'd be a great place for an amen. Turn to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. God is so good. 11 through 15. I may say all I have to want to say about it today, so we may just get through it here. Hebrews 9, 11 through 15. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats or calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled those who have been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal offering himself without blemish to God, will cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant. So that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. You, if you've said yes to Christ, have received the promise of an eternal inheritance. Verse 15 says, for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that you who have been called may receive that promise. Last night at the Orchard, Pastor Carl was teaching in Ephesians 4, and he spent a great deal of time talking about being called, or the calling of God. He explained that a calling is a summons by one who is in authority. And this is exactly what Hebrews 9:15 is describing. You have been called by one in authority. That is God himself who has called you. Listen, I'm saying these things so that you understand the gravity of it. That you don't take your walk lightly. That God has called you. This is a wonderful thing to be called by the living God. Pastor Carl also went on to say, for us, there is three types of calling. And I made note of them. If you're a note taker, you might want to write them down. Number one is the call to salvation. It's the call to be reconciled through Christ, to be reconciled to God. That's a calling. That's the calling that the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. You've been called to this reconciliation. Number two is a call to service. That is a call to serve in the kingdom. And so we've been called to service. Let me share with you, if your life doesn't seem very fulfilling, you might want to examine, are you serving? Now, that is not a pulpit. And I've seen this, and I have been witness of it, where pastors will beat down people about serving. It's not about this, guys. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. It's your heart. Where is your heart? Where is your service? Doesn't matter if it's here. Go change somebody's flat tire. If you got the money, buy them 4 new tires. Go and serve. It's in the serving. When you're called to service, you're called and you're fulfilled. And there's a fulfillment. And he also brought up number 3, which isn't very popular. And that's a call to sacrifice and suffering. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on those. If you want to know more about that, then get the tape, go hear it on the internet. We do record that. Or better yet, just come to the Orchard some Saturday night for some wonderful teaching. But the important thing I want you to hear this morning is that you have been called to the new covenant. The title of today's message is Culture or Covenant. Culture or Covenant. And today I wanted to go in a little bit about Christians or the church and how that it has a problem when it hits the crossroad of culture and covenant. That the church has a major problem. Each of us as an individual has a major problem with it. And then at large, because of that, the church has a problem with it. And let me explain that sometimes that in our lives, we make a decision to do what is either popular, prevalent, or prominent. I came up with those three words. I was rather proud of myself. Okay? We want to do what's popular or prevalent or prominent. And churches themselves will do that. Oh, well, let's all get together because if we do the music just right and we have the greeters just right and we give everybody a handout and we feed them every third Sunday with a chicken and dumpling dinner or whatever it may be, and we do what's popular, then it will call people. How many of you were discouraged by the number of pins that were popping up in the United States on that map? Anybody notice that? Not many. Well, that could be because maybe that ministry's not geared to that, so we don't want to be too judgmental. But let's face it, in America, we have everything. We certainly don't need God. And you know I'm not saying that. I'm being facetious. But let's face it, that's the plan. There are people who just enjoy going elsewhere on a Sunday instead of getting before their God. And it doesn't have to be a Sunday again. We're not talking about law here. We're talking about the Spirit. Culture or covenant. We have a problem when we hit those crossroads. Whatever's prevalent, whatever seems to be going on, even in our communities, in our lives, the church is not careful. It will bend itself to the culture. It will start to stray from the covenant and it will begin to bend itself to the culture. Instead of having covenant thinking, we'll start to have cultural thinking, and we don't even know it. Well, the culture does this. Everything seems to be okay. This is what seems to be happening in our culture. And next thing you know, we're making a decision. The three major things on that, I think, are promiscuity and things like homosexuality and abortion. You know, there's churches today who are fighting for Roe v. Wade. And these things, listen, the devil is crafty and he is slick and he definitely deceives. But what happens is, and in our culture, things begin to happen in something that's inappropriate to God, and the church all of a sudden, because the people all of a sudden, will begin to accept it. We don't like it at first. We don't like this thing. I mean, the latest, I guess, would be transgenderism or whatever. That's a big deal, right? It's okay if you don't say no. Yes. But it is. It's a big deal in our culture. For some reason, it's this cultural thing going on, and it's universal. I can remember President Obama being in a conference in Europe, and a young lady stood up and had a question, and she said, I am transgender, and I want to know why you don't like me. And he immediately began to go and tell her why she was okay and why he liked her. Because, hey, the culture is okay with it. And we do this. And kind of like the frog in the pot, we come to a boil and we haven't even known it. And the church is guilty of doing things that are culturally acceptable and not covenant acceptable. Now, those are big things. And remember, we've been talking about the salt and the light of the world. I love that Pastor John brought up that we're the light of the world in Matthew. And in fact, in that very same scripture, Jesus says this: if salt loses its saltiness, it is no good. In fact, he says, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Again, I'm hoping to encourage us that it seems that the last 20 years or so, we've gone through the motions of church, and we've had some wonderful times in church, and we've had some wonderful fellowship, and I myself even look back on it and remember the good times, but I don't know that I see the fruit of it. And I think God desires something different from us going forward. He desires fruit from the work. Fellowship is wonderful. Being together in unity is beautiful. But there is work to be done. And it's not about a work's sake. It's not for work's sake. It's for the grace. It's for the glory of God. Now, the examples I gave earlier, obvious, blatant issues that most of us recognize pretty readily. But where the enemy wins with most of us is the subtle, not so blatant areas where we tend to bend to the culture and not hold to the covenant. It's those subtle, small areas in our life that tend to weaken our resolve or tend to lessen our saltiness. Maybe it's our temper or our lack of empathy for others. Maybe it's a judging attitude that has crept into our life. I see this a lot with church members. We have a small men's group, and if we're not careful, we get in there and we start grumbling about everybody else. Isn't that easy to do? Or maybe it's gossip. Or maybe it's an attitude of discontentment where nothing ever suits you. Nothing's just good. You can't find yourself in a place of contentment where you're content with things. Or maybe it's a lack of modesty even. We've allowed social media and just the regular media to numb our senses. That what should be a shock to us and what should be a flat-out rejection of what the enemy is trying to sell us, we've become okay with. Well, that's just a commercial. That's just a movie. That's just a Facebook ad. That's just a Facebook post. And then the devil just slowly and slowly and slowly numbs you and me to where we're not even shocked anymore. Because the culture's okay with it. But covenant thinking isn't like that. Covenant thinking has to say no to things. Covenant thinking has to say, I'm filtering this in, God. Is this good for my relationship with you? Or is this something, maybe it's not going to super harm me, but let's face it, it weakens you. It's like a crack in the concrete here. It's like a mortar piece falling out. The wall might still be there, but it's coming if you're not careful. Okay, well, Tim, you're certainly preaching at us this morning. Well, I don't know what else to say. This was the word I feel he gave me. We are a people of a covenant. And thank God we're a people of the new covenant, a covenant that has the Spirit of God. It's in our hearts. Jeffrey sang about it this morning. Give me that heart of flesh. Break down this solid rock inside of me and give me a heart of love, of flesh, of something that can be fruitful and produce soil that can be good, that God can use to make something wonderful out of our life. And that we not go through the motions and get to the end and say, what was this all about? We're a people of covenant. I want to look at one more scripture this morning. Turn to Hebrews 10 and 19. And I'll try to wrap this up. 10 and 19. I'm going to read all the way through 39. My message today is one to the church that needs to get to a place where the culture has zero influence on you and covenant has 100% influence on you. The culture needs to have zero influence on me, and Christ needs to have 100% influence on me. It's not easy. I'm not saying we're going to get there tomorrow. We're going to walk this thing out as best we can and try to get there as soon as we can. And for that to happen, Christians must get to the same place where the church can be there because we are there. Hebrews 10, 19 through 39. Now listen, this scripture has encouragement in it. I love the writer here. He gives us encouragement, but he gives us a warning, and then he exhorts us at the end. Therefore, brethren, since, here's the encouraging thing. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is what? He who promised is faithful. Isn't that a great word this morning? And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Uh-oh, but here now the writer has a warning for us. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more a severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted, listen, and has insulted the Spirit of grace, has insulted the Holy Spirit. For now we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I want to stop there for a moment because we've talked about this. We've been under this hyper grace teaching for over 20 years, probably close to 30 years. You know, we used to get on the Baptist and those folks who had the hell and brimfire teaching and how they would always talk about judgment and always talk about the negative. And then hyper grace came in with a charismatic movement and it began to gain momentum to the part where it almost gets to the place where Christians feel they have so much grace they can do whatever they want to do. It's true. And God's trying to bring back a balance to us and says, yeah, I have grace for you. I have all the grace you will ever need. But don't go there because there is a judgment. There is a judgment seat of Christ, the Bible calls it. And we're to be sober-minded about this thing. And we're to understand that God is just and he is love. I don't know how, why, and where it works, but I know that's who he is. He is justice and he is love. And it says here, it is a terrifying thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Now, before I read this, I want to share with you, Pastor Carl even shared last night, that he believes we're in a time frame where the next 20 years may unwind and not be very nice for Christians. Okay? So, you haven't gone through what the early Christians went through with persecution. Not yet, but we could. But is the writer going to say this about us when we get through it? Or our children's children get through it? Remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Now the writer moves to exhort us again and finish this sandwich out here. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. We are not of those who shrink back. Listen. Everything of who you are is who God says you are. Everything of who we are is who God says we are. The entire world struggles right now bad with identity. They're struggling with identity. They don't know who they are. And their consequence is they don't know how to behave. And our poor young people who have been influenced by this lie, it's tragic. Satan is a liar. Settle it in your mind. Anything that's coming probably out of the culture and not from covenant is a lie from the pit of hell. If you look at the world today, it's easy to see that there's great confusion about identity. The transgenderism thing. I mean, some people say, well, no, we've always had that. It's just more noticeable. No, that's a lie. We've always had it because we've always had sin. But it's propagated heavily now because it's being encouraged by the culture. You are a child of God. You have been adopted by the Most High King. Satan is a liar. Don't you dare let him try to tell you who you are. If you get an opportunity with a young person, they need to know that. That the enemy wants to destroy them by telling them that they're something that they're not. By telling them that they're somebody that they're really not. Guess what? He wants to destroy us the same way. And you have your own imaginations. You know, I don't need to know that and share that. You know what the enemy beats you down on. You know what your strongholds are. But Satan is a liar. Everything of who we are is who God says we are. Your Father is the maker of the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And if he be for you, then who can be against you? Your victory in this life, if you want abundant life, your victory resides in knowing who and whose you are. It's that simple. And it is that easy, folks. Anytime we're straying from that is when we're getting beat down. Every time that we're walking in victory is because we know that our God is the Most High King. You are born again. You were made new. You are a new creation. And you are in the new covenant. And the last word here, don't get stuck at the crossroad of culture or covenant. Press through, ask God what it means for you to make a covenant decision in the situation that you are in, and trust him with the results. Therefore, the Bible says, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what he has promised. That's a good word. That's an encouraging word this morning. Don't frown. Smile. God has given us an encouraging word. We will receive what he has promised us. We are inheritance of the eternal kingdom. And my last word, written right here, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Somebody say amen. God is good, folks. We need to take the gospel message to the world, but we need to start in our own neighborhood. Your own neighbor would be a great place to be a missionary. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that we got through it, Lord. I know it was a bit of a rush, but it's okay, God. Your plans are not our plans, and we trust you for everything that we do, God. Give you glory. Thank you for letting us stay a little bit, Lord. And I ask that you redeem the time of those who stayed, Lord. Bless them as they go. Encourage them. Help them understand that they are who you say they are. That each person here has a gift and a calling. And that you're working in our lives for the benefit of us and those around us. And to that we say amen and amen. We'll bless you this morning. Have a great Sunday afternoon. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. You know, we would love to invite you to come and visit us in person sometime if you're ever in our area. You can find us at 415 Union Street in Milton, Delaware, where we have prayer and worship services on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., Bible study on Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., and a Sunday morning worship service at 10:30 a.m. We would love to minister to your children as well. We offer children's church during the adult service. Children are excused to go back to their classes right after the worship time. You can also find more information about us on the web at unionstreetmeetinghouse.org or on Facebook at Union Street Meeting House. So we look forward to sharing the message with you next week. Hope you'll return to this podcast. Thank you so much, and God bless you.